This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. The photographs have been taken, the mortarboards tossed, the relatives have come and gone, and so have many of your best buds. You're standing there in San Francisco, Raleigh, Portland, in cities all over the country with a brand new diploma in hand. All you need now is a job. With house prices tumbling, gas prices soaring, and the economy putt-putting along, how hard is it for the class of 2008 to get the jobs they want, or any job at all, for that matter? The answer may surprise you. Experts say it's a pretty good year to graduate. It depends on your major, what kind of work you're looking for, and what kind of part of the country you want to live in. But according to Job Outlook 2008, an annual survey of college recruiters, employers plan to hire 8% more new college graduates this year than they did in 2007. Not a huge jump, admittedly, but better than no gain at all. A bit later in the program, the inside scoop on how to get one of those jobs you may have dreamed about. Brewmaster, maybe. Cowboy. Fashion designer. How about a band manager? We'll also talk with Kevin Connolly about his unique perspective on the lives we imagine about strangers. Kevin was born without legs and traveled through many different countries atop his skateboard. He'll be with us here in Studio 3A. But first, the job market for college grads. If you're fresh out of college with an associate, bachelor's, or master's degree, and maybe a load of debt too, give us a call. What job are you looking for? Are you willing to move to get it? Tell us your story. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can describe your experiences on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Our guest is Marilyn Mackus, Executive Director of the National Association of Colleges and Employers. Her organization produces the Job Outlook Report, and she joins us today from the studios of member station WHYY in Philadelphia. Nice to have you with us today.
So great to be here. Thank you.
Is it strange to you that companies are hiring more when the economy is pretty flat?
Well, actually, not really. If we look at the patterns of recent history, say over the last 15 years, we're going to see some ups and downs. And actually, during the course of that time, the employment market sometimes will particularly lag what's happening in the economy itself. But also, you have the added dimension that the college market could be a little bit different than other markets also. One of the things that happens is you have shifting demographics, more people retiring. You have industries that are looking for new people to come in, bring different kinds of skills and knowledge. It's interesting, you mentioned the 8% increase this year. This, I would say, it is a more conservative increase relative to the double-digit increases we've seen over the last 4 years.
So, in fact, the last 4 years have all been good.
They have been. In fact, we've had last year, the increase from the previous year was 17.4%, which was pretty significant. The last time we really saw a decrease was right after 9/11 in 2002 and 2003. We saw some significant decreases, but since that time, it's really been an upswing for college grads.
And which particular college grads? What majors are in demand?
Well, it really does depend, as you said earlier, on geography, on industry, and obviously discipline. I will tell you that the top employers come from engineering services, accounting services, consulting. We're even seeing some financial services, despite what's happening in the financial services industry. Obviously, what's being hit hardest there is the home mortgage industry, home building. But if you have a finance major and you're going into a different type of field, other than that, there certainly are opportunities out there.
So technical degrees, are they in demand? Engineering, computer science, that sort of thing?
Yes. In fact, top of the list this year for this particular graduating class, we're going to see petroleum and chemical engineers. They're going to be in high demand also in terms of salaries. They're going to be getting the highest salaries. Computer science, computer engineers, they're all kind of leading the way in that area.
And obviously some parts of the country are going to be stronger than others.
That's right. Right now what we're looking at is an interesting shift from last year. The Northeast and the Midwest are actually seeing higher levels of increased hiring than the South and the West. And interestingly enough, in 2007, the South and the West showed much higher increases. The South, for example, saw a 25% increase in hiring for college grads from the previous year. And in 2008, now we're only seeing a 1.3% increase. And I will tell you, a bit of that is due to the fact that some of this home building and mortgage lending institutions, a lot of them are based in that area.
Let's see if we can get some callers in on the conversation. Again, our guest is Marilyn Mackus, Executive Director of the National Association of Colleges and Employers, and they produced the Job Outlook 2008. Our number, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. What kind of a job are you looking for? Allie's with us. Allie calling us from Reno in Nevada.
Hello.
Hi, Allie. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Oh, great. Yeah, I just graduated with my master's in accounting.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. And the job market in accounting is excellent.
Glad to hear that.
Where are you going to work?
In public accounting.
And
at a local public accounting firm.
So you've already gotten a job offer and accepted it?
Absolutely.
And are you already at work?
No, I start in a few weeks.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Great. Thank you.
And is this the experience most of your friends are having as well?
Yes. In public accounting, the market is excellent.
All right. Well, you made a wise decision then.
Yes, thanks.
Okay, Allie. Thanks very much. And is that the experience of other people in accounting, do you think, Marilyn Mackus?
Yes, very much so. Accounting is definitely very solid this year. The salaries may not be as high in terms of a percent increase over previous years that we might have seen, but they are seeing increases, and it is a solid area to go into. And I do want to mention that, you know, even though I didn't mention business and other business disciplines and liberal arts in terms of the high demand, they're actually doing pretty well out there. And in fact, a good example is liberal arts is actually looking at one of the highest percent increases from last year. I think almost a 12% increase from salaries last year, which is a fantastic thing for our liberal arts students.
Now, in general, you know, during the boom in the late 90s, I guess up until 9/11, a lot of people were expecting bonuses, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. signing bonuses. Mm-hmm. Are those still exist?
They do exist. I'd say roughly half of the employers that are out there provide some kind of signing bonus, sometimes retention bonuses. Obviously, when the competition is the hottest, the increased, you know, like the years that we saw, like a 23% increase, that was back in 2001, actually, right before 9/11. The bonus plans were unbelievable. They were, you know, very different, very kind of outrageous to some people's estimation. But things have settled down a bit, and roughly 50% of them are offering bonuses. And, you know, they're roughly between $3,000 and $4,000, typically, a signing bonus.
Well, let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff's with us from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, thanks very much, Jeff.
I'm in nursing school, and I'm curious to know what the prospects for nursing is going to be.
Well, I will tell you that the whole healthcare industry, as you might imagine, is one of those areas that has a tremendous amount of demand all over the United States. And in fact, you know, I am among the group of baby boomers who are going to be retiring and also beginning to experience a bit more health-related problems. And as we do experience that, the demand for a workforce, including nursing, is going to continue to grow. And you may already be aware of some of that from your own experience.
Yes, I have. That's one of the reasons that my wife and I had gone into nursing school is the more or less the job prospects and the ability of, you know, such a portable career because we hope to relocate, mm-hmm. you know, by the time we finish with school.
Did you and your wife both go into nursing school together, or did you meet at nursing school?
No, we were married before, and we're both in nursing school now, and I have a BA from a long time ago and decided to go back to school, and this will be her first degree. And it's kind of fun going together and working together, and kind of got some good advice from a good friend of ours that is a nurse, and you know, just kind of went in it like that.
Well, congratulations.
Okay, well, thank you.
If I may say, that idea of portability is very important. That's extremely valuable.
Let's see if we can get Tricia on the line. Tricia with us from St. Louis.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
More to the point, how is your job search going?
Not well, actually. It's gotten to the point where I'm applying for any job I can get, you know, bookstores, you know, just anything, you know, Whole Foods Market. They opened a new one here in St. Louis, and I was told that I was either overeducated or overqualified with my experience, and they're looking for someone, you know, just with a little less experience. And I'm thinking, why did I go get my master's degree then?
And what did you get your master's in?
You know, I got my master's degree in English, you know, emphasis in creative writing. So I knew that going to be an aspiring author was not going to happen right away. But my previous work experience, you know, I've had supervisor experience for over 6 years, and I feel that I'm a pretty viable candidate, but there's just nothing out there.
Marilyn Mackeson, any advice for Tricia?
Well, yes, and if I may, I actually have my background in English, so I can certainly identify with your experience. What I can tell you also is that, as you're already finding out, one of the things you really have to do is identify the skill set and the knowledge set that is going to have the most appeal to the particular type of work you want to do.
Right.
And if you haven't done it yet, I would highly recommend working with a career services offices, one of the offices you've worked with as an undergrad or as a grad student, and also identify with some experienced people in fields you want to work in to get some inside information about what is it they are looking for so that you can kind of gear how you market yourself and present yourself to the nature of the kind of work you want to do. A lot of it has to do with understanding what the marketplace expects and demands and being able to market yourself accordingly.
Right on. All right. Well, thank you very much.
And good luck to you, Tricia.
Good luck
thank
to you.
Thank you very much.
In fact, you write about the three rules, the three things every prospective job interviewee should do.
Well, yeah, it's actually very important that students really need to, number one, research the organizations and the positions that they're applying for. They really need to understand what's in the marketplace out there. They also need to research themselves. I mean, there's a lot of ways of saying that, but you really need to understand yourself and be prepared to, be able to market yourself and to be able to make the connections between what you have to offer and what the marketplace is looking for. And then finally, the more you can gain some relevant work experience, some hands-on exposure, doing the kind of work you want to do, the more competitive you're going to be. I'll tell you, 95% of the employers we survey tell us that work experience is at the top of their list. You know, related work experience. They don't expect you to have years and years of it, but having gone out, and even if you just mentored or shadowed someone to at least get some career-related work experience, makes a huge difference.
But it wouldn't seem beyond the pale to ask this generation to Google the company before they go.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Coming up, if you're fantasizing about that really cool job while slogging away inside your cubicle, author David Rosen will join us to tell us how you can land the film director job, or maybe that job as a cowboy. 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation, NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington with gloomy economic news. You might not think there'd be a lot of pomp or circumstance this year for college grads. It turns out, though, the job market is pretty good, though not for everybody and not everywhere. So maybe you should shut your eyes and imagine yourself in a dream job. Give us a call. Tell us what that job is. Maybe radio host. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also describe your experiences on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Here's an email we had from Andrea in San Mateo, California. I had a hard time finding a job when I completed my BA in technical theater in 2000, but just completed my doctor of pharmacy, and myself and most of my class pretty much had our pick of jobs with signing bonuses, although they were smaller than most of last year's graduating class from my school. And our guest, Marilyn Mackus, pharmacy, I guess that's part of the health market that you were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that example that was shared. That's the kind of thing we're hearing all across the country. And I think the range is very broad, as you can imagine. Even other fields that help to support the healthcare field, for example, technology. There are some fields out there that, you know, people may want to specialize in learning how certain types of technology as it supports the healthcare industry. So, it's a great opportunity for everyone right now.
Marilyn Mackus, by the way, Executive Director of the National Association of Colleges and Employers. And let's get Travis on the line. Travis with us from Cincinnati in Ohio.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Hi. Yeah, actually, I have not yet graduated, and I already have an offer for the full-time job that I was looking for.
And what are you going to graduate with a degree in?
A degree in psychology.
And what's that job you were looking for?
I'm going to do research at Children's Hospital here in Cincinnati.
So, research, and the salary's good, and you're happy?
Oh, yeah, I'm happy. Actually, the way I got the job was that I just volunteered to do research at the hospital about 6 months ago, just expecting to get experience from it. And a few months later, they offered me a job when I graduated.
Ah, so the internship paid off for you.
Oh, definitely.
That's a lot of people's experience, Marilyn Mackus.
That's correct. In fact, it's really interesting. The studies that we do show that employers convert about 50% of their interns into full-time employees, and cooperative education, which is, you know, more lengthy types of internships, they actually convert about 60%, and many employers have a 100% target that they're shooting for. And I would also suggest that this example of, you know, going in and volunteering is a great way to test out your interests, see if you're capable of doing it, if they like you, if you like them, and it can ultimately, as it did for you, result in a job, which is fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Travis, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
David Rosen knows from jobs, he's held a lot of them, camp counselor, assembly line worker, a beer vendor for the St. Louis Cardinals. He also wrote a novel, I Just Want My Pants Back, and he's got a new book out, What's That Job and How the Hell Do I Get It? The inside scoop on more than 50 cool jobs from the people who actually have them. David Rosen is with us from our bureau in New York, and nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Neil. Great to be here.
And you went out and interviewed 50 people who have what you call cool jobs and basically asked them, what do you do and how do you get that job?
Yeah, I used to work in advertising, and you know, friends of my parents' kids would call me, and they would say, "Hey, you know, I think I want to do what you do. What do you do?" And as I sat down with them over a coffee or a beer, I realized that a lot of this information about what you actually do all day, and then the steps to these sort of more non-traditional jobs and how you get there, these things weren't really Googleable. So I knew a few people. I lived in New York City. I started working my connections, and I went out and interviewed over 100 people in 50 different jobs.
So how do you get a job as a brewmaster?
A brewmaster? Well, that is not actually one that's in my book, but I would guess you start with a love of beer, and you probably start, like you should do for any job and was mentioned earlier, is meeting people, networking. It's easier now to network than ever before with the internet. I mean, most college students are already in social networks. And start asking around, hey, I've always wanted to work with beer. That could also come off the wrong way, but hey, if that's what you want to do, I've always wanted to work with beer. Does anyone know anyone that maybe I could just talk to? Don't ask for a job. Say, I would like an informational interview or just to meet someone. And start sort of putting yourself out there and meeting people, because that's, for these really dream-type jobs, that's kind of how you get in there.
And I know you did talk about the job of band manager, or I guess that's an elevated roadie, right?
Yeah, I think you start off as basically a friend of the band who's helping them, and then you really grow with the band. And, you know, band manager isn't all, you know, running around making sure, you know, the rock star doesn't overdose on cocaine. It's a lot of being the parent, being the accountant, being the person who makes sure everyone else does their job for the band. And really the best way to become a band manager, well, there's two ways. One is, as was mentioned earlier, is to intern at a management company and work through that way. I can't emphasize enough how much working for free or interning helps when trying to get these type jobs. It's really the way in. The other way in is to find bands that you like, that you want to support, and become their manager as they're going up. That's how a lot of people have done it.
Let's get Bruce on the line. And Bruce is with us from Carson City in Nevada.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I love your show. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
So you wanted to know about my dream job?
Yeah, what's that?
I wanted to be a world-renowned photographer that's wanted in every country, and I can travel and take pictures and eat lots of good food and take pictures of food and beautiful women and hang out and travel and be published and well-wanted.
That sounds like a dream job. And David Rosen, I know you did film director. Did photographer come up?
I also did do photographer. I would do that job with you if you need an assistant. basically, what you need to do to work as a photographer, and there's many different ways to make money as a photographer, obviously, but you know, yours sounds more like the editorial type photographer who's taking great pictures for magazines and
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, and commercial photography and products, people.
Well, where you start with that is to have a portfolio of images that you can kind of send out to editors and to art buyers at advertising agencies that shows your work and what you do. Now, there's a lot of ways to do that. You don't need to go to art school to do that, but it doesn't hurt to go to an art school or photography school where you can start getting, as I was saying earlier, connections, because getting inside the Condé Nast of the world and showing this portfolio and getting people excited about you, you know, it does take a little bit of knowing people. But first things first is to start working on that portfolio, making images that show how great you'll be and why people should fly you to Europe to shoot, you know, models eating nice food.
Good luck, Bruce.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's see if we can get another caller in. This is Sid. Sid with us from Nevada City in California.
Hi, how you doing?
All right.
My dream job, I think, would be captain of, like, a huge ocean liner.
There's not a lot of ocean liners around. Do you, David Rosen?
I would, you know, this might not sound what you want to hear, but I think the way to start with that would probably be entering the Navy or the Coast Guard, you know, and working your way up. I would gather that most, if someone's going to entrust you to a ship that huge, it's probably you'd have experience, and the way to get that experience would probably be through the armed forces.
And I was wrong.
It's a dream.
And I realized I was wrong. There are all these cruise ships that are plying the waters all around the world. I could think about the Queen Mary, and that's not traveling the Atlantic much anymore. But all those cruise ships need captains, I suppose.
There's lots of private boats also in the Caribbean that people hire captains to take them out for weeks at a time. And those jobs definitely exist. A lot of those captains own those boats, though, I will throw out there.
Sid, good luck.
You know, when I dream, you guys, when I dream big, and I know how much work it would have been. But, you know, think of the responsibility and all the job titles you have to have, diplomat, navigator, you know.
And you have to avoid those icebergs.
And you can marry people, too, which is great.
The Titanic captain, bless his heart, you know. He was full steam ahead.
Good luck, Sid.
You bet. Bye-bye.
And let's get another caller, Sean. Sean from Caswell in South Carolina.
Yeah, just how do you become a taste tester for Ben and Jerry's ice cream? That's, I mean, all the other jobs just pale in comparison to that. I mean, I've seen the guys on the History Channel or in A&E before, and it's just all other jobs pale in comparison to this job.
Taste tester for Ben and Jerry's, is that something you look into, David?
It's not, but I again, when a job that specific, you know, when you're talking about Ben and Jerry's, the key would be, I would say the key to be would be to get a job at Ben and Jerry's to start.
Yeah, you might want to move to Vermont.
Yeah,
well,
move
you
to
can't,
Vermont.
I can't do that. I'm sorry. You would weigh like 500 pounds about a month, so.
You could eat while on a treadmill, perhaps.
But
if you have a job, if you do have a dream job that's as specific as that, you you know, like if you want to work in A&R, let's say, at a record label, the person who signs bands, there's no jobs, and just like there's no taste tester job that's going to be in the help wanted pages. What you can do, though, is get a job at that company and then start networking into that area. So you could start as the receptionist at Ben & Jerry's and say, I have a really good palate. You know, I'll take classes. How can I become someone who helps as a taste tester?
Well, thank you for answering my question.
Oh, good luck, Sean. And one of the things that we mentioned earlier, you did mention the job of film director, and there are thousands of kids who graduate from film schools every year, and not many of them actually end up as movie directors.
No, it's definitely a long shot job, and I spoke to Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, who did Little Miss Sunshine, and also Eli Roth, who shot the Hostel movies. And one thing they'll both say is, if you do want to be a film director, do go to film school. A lot of people think of Quentin Tarantino and they think of YouTube, but the truth is that film school is very, very helpful because it is networking. You really have to meet these people who live in a very small area of the world, Hollywood. That's where it's kind of all happening. Yes, there are people who discovered M. Night Shyamalan from Philadelphia, but it's really important to meet people, and you have to – it is an artist-type job. You have to make a great student film. You're going to want to work on other people's films, PA, whatever help they need, and start meeting more and more people and getting them to entrust you.
Well, thanks very much, David. We appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much, Neil.
And you've got a dream job as a writer.
I do. It's great.
David Rosen's the author of What's That Job and How the Hell Do I Get It? The inside scoop on more than 50 cool jobs from the people who actually have them. He was with us from our bureau in New York. If you're a new grad dipping your toe into the job market for the first time, you can find guidance from David Rosen in an excerpt from his book. That's at our website, and you can go to npr.org/talk. Well, Marilyn Mackus is still with us, and we're talking with her about, well, more conventional and more likely jobs that people are still looking for. And Marilyn, here's an email we got from Ben. My wife just graduated from Rockhurst in Kansas City, Missouri, and her master's is in education. She focused her studies on math and got her teacher certification in math education. She was lucky and found a job, sixth grade math, right away. Her friends in school have not been so lucky. It seems like there are a lot of unemployed new teachers. What's the market like in the K-12 educational field?
Well, that's one of those fields where, you know, it really does depend a lot on geography and demand and particularly discipline. And I would have been very surprised to hear that a math teacher was not able to get a job, because I think most of us recognize that there's very high demand in that kind of field right now. One of the things that I would suggest that our employers are telling us, for example, is that people really need to think about the math and the sciences and technology in the United States. And I'm putting a little plug in here for that, for those people who are still out there trying to decide what they want to major in, or if their parents out here are thinking about that for their kids for the future, because we are really in a serious situation related to that. On the side of education, there are jobs for people in education, but it does depend. I mentioned earlier about some of the geographic differences in terms of where there is growth. And obviously, a lot of it has to do with population and where there are opportunities for, you know, schools to be located and that sort of thing. Typically, urban centers, they're always looking for teachers.
We're talking with Marilyn Mackus about the job market for new graduates. So whether you've got an associate, a master's or bachelor's degree, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Aaron's on the line. Aaron calling from New York. Aaron, are you there? Aaron has apparently left us. Thanks very much for the call, though. Let's go to Fred. Fred's with us from San Antonio.
Hello, yes. I recently graduated as a Spanish major, and in San Antonio there's a lot of native speakers, and I don't necessarily want to teach. I'm trying to figure out where in the country there would be a demand with someone who had a degree in Spanish.
Ah, that's a great question, and I think I'm sure you're aware of the statistics, since you did major in this, that, you know, increasingly as time goes on in not too distant future, a very, very large percentage of our population is going to be speaking Spanish, and we're definitely going to need to be having people who can teach Spanish. You're saying you're not sure that you really want to teach, but where else could you be practicing the language? Obviously, we know, you know, California is an obvious one. The Southwest in general is good location. But increasingly, you go to any urban center in the United States, in the Midwest, Chicago, New York, Boston, almost any of those places, you're going to see an increasing number of the population that are speaking other languages, Spanish being one of them. And I think there are certainly opportunities for that. The other thing I would tell you is employers are telling us that they truly do value people who have these language skills, because they are operating more in a global marketplace, and they need people to be out there who have these bilingual skills. So I would suggest that it isn't just about practicing in a particular limited geographic area as much as it is thinking about the marketplace and how to utilize those skills in a broader way as well.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Good luck, Fred. Here's an email from Abigail in St. Louis, and she writes, I received a BA in studio art and finished a semester early in fall 07. I jumped straight into getting my master's due to a lack of jobs. I even strayed away from art, deciding now to major in community counseling, and I'm still worried about my market. How is the counseling field?
The counseling field certainly is viable. You heard the individual talking about psychology, for example, and I know that as we've been looking at the fields for liberal arts majors, again, counseling is one of those areas where a grad degree is typically expected, so it's a good thing you're going for the graduate degree. And counseling, community counseling, is something that can be used in a variety of different ways, and I will tell you, it's one of those sort of associated fields to the healthcare industry. Increasingly, we're finding that healthcare services are utilizing community counseling in a whole range of different ways. So, you know, look into those prospects as well, in addition to the traditional, you know, traditional counseling, clinical counseling, community counseling types of things. I would suggest that you work closely with your career services offices to give you some additional thoughts on that as well.
Career service at the college?
At the college university that you're working at, yeah.
Okay. And I have to ask you, Marilyn Mackus, was executive director of the National Association of College and Employers, was that your dream job?
I am absolutely in my dream job. I am, absolutely. And, you know, interestingly enough, I came from academia with a PhD in English and taught and everything, and here I am doing this. So there is no straight line to get to where you want to be.
Marilyn Mackus, thanks very much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Marilyn Mackus joined us from the studios of member station WHYY in Philadelphia. Coming up, speaking of recent grads, Kevin Connolly just graduated from Montana State University. He was born without legs, and his new photo project about how others see him is at the Kennedy Center. He joins us next. I'm Neil Conan. Stay with us. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.